The drive is live, and there's Clint here, and Tyler is in the building as well, and that could be something we discuss. I like that thought of a conversation of where is the line. Maybe we can have a conversation about that at some point. But I do want to get this in. As he said, Texans Ticket Tuesday, your chance to win those tickets in the 5 o'clock hour. So make sure you stay tuned. Make a note on your phone, alarm, calendar, whatever, that it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. So coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, that is when you will have a chance to win that. All right, let's not play around. Jump right in it. Last night, the Jags, Clint, Tyler got the brakes beat off of them.
Bring on the Jaguars!
Some people thought the Jags might be the team that could give the Texans problems, but they are 0-3, and hell, at least their first two games have been somewhat close. But this last one, man, 47-10. By a team that I think at the start of the season, I think many people thought Buffalo and Jacksonville might have been on the same level.
I'm sure they vomited in the stands.
I think with the losses Buffalo had, I think a lot of people may have thought that they may have been beneath, potentially. But clearly that is not the case. And those are the next two opponents for the Texans the next 2 weeks. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, they look like they got problems. They look like they might have to fire another coach.
Ooh, it's bad, man. It's when Figgy's talking about that he thinks Trevor Lawrence may be trying to get Doug Peterson fired. You know, it's bad. I heard that on the midday show. Coming
he
in,
playing
man.
Like that, huh?
Hey, look, it was 47-10, a 37-point victory, and they scored a touchdown on their first five possessions. I mean, that joker was 30.
Did whatever
I think they
want.
Missed an extra point or something. I think it was 34. But anyway, I mean, it was that defense is absolutely horrible. They have no answers. And let's be honest, man. I mean, I think Buffalo is a much better football team. In fact, I never dropped them. I felt like Stephon Diggs leaving, the adjustment of whatever they were doing from a game plan perspective, I was impressed with what they did last year. They didn't drop on my board, but they did on a lot of folks' boards. Let's be honest, though. I'm high on Buffalo. I'm high on Josh Allen. I like the changes, but they ain't rolling. They ain't rolling the same caliber receivers out there that the Texans are rolling out there. They ain't rolling the same caliber receivers that a healthy Chicago Bears team can roll out there. I mean, you got old Barefoot Mac Hollins. You've got
Coleman.
They
like him.
Shakir. They like him. Coleman. Coleman's a rookie.
Shakir looks good.
I mean, but you ain't rolling. They're not rolling like this group out there that's striking fear into folks, man. That was to put up 47 points in what could have been very easily 60. Very easily could have been 60 plus points. That defense is horrible in Jacksonville, and Trevor Lawrence, the best way I can put it is he looks rookie lost. He looks like...
I was going to say, why is it so bad? I mean, it looked like he said, man, DeMar, this one's for you.
Yeah.
I want to give you a gift, man. Dude, man, you've been through so much.
Yeah, man.
Here, man, I won't get it to you. This one's...
Make some headlines. Here you go, big fella.
What is going on
Yeah,
there?
It's I don't know. I don't know.
He had the urban excuse to start.
Yes.
But now...
Let's be honest.
Now
he played better under Urban.
Well, I think Doug. The year they made the playoffs, he played better.
Fair. That was Doug. You're right.
But that's not an excuse. Doug and him, we saw the best out of him. People thought last year he was coming in, he was going to take another step, had the injuries last year, which I think derailed his season. But this year, man, as you said, he looks Caleb Williams, Bryce.
I mean,
Bryce Young
looks
lost.
Deer in the headlights. I'm not real sure of the offense. I've never seen this speed before on defense. Boy, they're throwing the playbook at me. I really don't know how to respond. I don't know how to get the ball. I mean, it is ugly all the way around for Trevor Lawrence. And you look at what the Jags have done. They were at Miami with Tua. They lost 20-17. They went to Cleveland and lost 18-13. And then last night at Buffalo, 47-10. They're in a bad spot. And this brings me home right here to Houston. And if the Texans don't blow the doors off the Jags this week here, Ron, we're going to have some problems. I mean,
blow the doors off.
It ain't got to be 47-10, but if you don't win, if you're not.
This should be more than a one possession game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If we're not at NRG Stadium watching this game, And it is not blatantly obvious who the better football team is. Whether on both sides of the football, special teams, quarterback play, rushing the passer, stopping the run, all of it. Like, if it's not blatantly obvious who the better football team is, if this thing is a dogfight with the Jaguars, I don't want to hear, oh, it's just football. It's hard to win on Sundays in the NFL. That was a very, very, very bad football team that you got to wonder how Doug Peterson's going to keep this thing on the damn tracks.
I just, when you take coach and quarter at everything, the rosters, you think there's a big difference between the Jags, the Colts, and the Bears? Because the Texans struggled with those two teams, and, you know, especially the Colts defense, which is a struggle, and Anthony Richardson, who is inconsistent, obviously, and then the Bears offense was just one of the worst, probably maybe one of the worst offenses the Texans will face. Like, you think the Jags are below those teams because that, I mean, they struggled in those games.
Yeah, I don't know if they're below them or not, Ron, but to me, it's if you can't go out there and protect the quarterback and run the football and score points against this football team, something's wrong. So, I mean, there's some we can argue the Minnesota defense, the Chicago Bears defense. Hey, man, they're gonna be tough to score on for folks all year long. Okay, I can get that. Now, I expect you to be able to do that because we're talking Super Bowl caliber football team here in Houston. We're not talking about a run of the mill middle of the pack team. But hey, we can put that to bed. Like, you've not been good against two really, really good defenses. This ain't that. I mean, you ought to be able to score 40 plus points against this team.
We'll see. Their offense has not had that performance yet. Not to where we thought they could be.
Nowhere remotely close to where they should be.
And we'll see if Joe Mixon returns. We'll see if he'll be able to go and help out, because that would be a big key for them, having their running backs. But, no, I would say this, Clint, if they are what many of you have said they are, now we got some people switching around on it here on the text line saying, hey, we need to reevaluate this talent thing about the Texans. Maybe the Texans don't clearly have that great a talent. I wouldn't go that far, but I think especially where people thought they would be. There were people who would text in, we got 12 wins, called in. I remember somebody called in like it was crazy. Said you guys are haters. They're at 12 or 13 wins. I know Tyler was in that space. Many of you thought Super Bowl contender. We've said it. If they are in that space at home after being embarrassed in Minneapolis and after everybody saying what they are saying about you and seeing what has happened to Jacksonville the last couple of weeks, they should handle them if they are the team that everybody thinks they are. And it ain't just here. That's everybody. They got people. Vegas thought they were a top three AFC, top three team to come out of the AFC in terms of how they had that thing ranked with the odds. So if they are that, they should handle this group. They should handle this team. All right. With that, man, I do want to transition to this point, Clint. With that, do you and the people you can respond to this too? Do you think right now after 3 weeks the Texans are overrated? Because after I just said they're what we think they are, do you think the Texans are overrated?
Oh no.
Yes. Yes. That was Mark. That was Mark, wasn't it? That was not me. Absolutely. Absolutely 100%. Right now, given what we know as of today, three games into this season, absolutely the Texans are and were overrated. Now, they can shift gears and they can prove me wrong, but right now, they're 100% overrated.
Overrated from where you thought?
Where I thought they were. No, look, I think I'm going to end up – I think I'm good with my win total. But after week one, the way they ran the football, this is a Super Bowl caliber team that I'm on record of saying that. Like, yeah, that was an overrate in a hurry. You know, look, you got to look at it. I mean, the reality of it is you've had close games against two football teams that are – in the bottom half of the league, if not the bottom third of the league, in the Colts and the Bears. And then you get the doors blown off of you by a team that's kind of a quick riser here in the NFL, kind of jumping on the scene of being somebody that could cause some problems, the Minnesota Vikings. And if you look at right now, coming into this game, everybody expected C.J. Stroud and all these weapons to be one of the better offenses in football, right? Right now, the Texans' offense, their bottom half in points scored. And if you look at all the Super Bowl contenders around the league, the Texans are scoring fewer points than any of the other Super Bowl caliber teams coming into this season. right? Make of that what you will. Bottom third of the league in scoring, and if you look at all the preseason Super Bowl teams, I'm talking about several of them. Go deep if you want to in the AFC, and the Texans are scoring the fewest points of those Super Bowl contenders. Look at the defense. The defense, when you look at points allowed, bottom third of the NFL. I mean, this is a defense with D'Amico Ryans that you expect to be in that top defense.
We don't like that.
That top defense conversation with D'Amico. And they're not there. So I don't know how anybody at this point in time can't look at this team, especially if you watch them on a weekly basis and you follow them closely on a daily basis. I don't know how you can look at this team right now. We've not seen better than a B-minus performance on offense. I mean, I'll give the defense an A against Chicago. They absolutely destroyed that. But with the exception of the defense against Chicago,
yeah,
I don't know that we've seen an A. We've seen what we would call an A game. I don't know if we've seen what we'd call a B-plus game.
Just the running game in the first one. Yeah, that like we looked at that and thought maybe that caused the offense to look different than what we thought it was going to be because they were. I mean, you run it 30 times with ease. You know, we didn't have to see the Nico, and even though we saw the Nico show, but we didn't have to see Tank and Diggs involved because they were running it so well. I see some people texting in on this way overrated. Someone said, "I love the reaction over one game in the NFL." Texans definitely overrated from Ocho. Someone said, "If the Texans are overrated, what are the Saints?" Listen, I'd say slightly, because I do want to give a thought of, hey, this is a group of guys that are coming together for the first time and learning each other. And I mean, like, you know, Diggs and then incorporating him with Nico and Tank and that offense with CJ and how they're doing things with mixing new run. I want to say that defensively, too, some new pieces, a rookie in there in the secondary, some new pieces. But the reason why I can't just accept it as, hey, this is just a slow start with guys kind of getting to know each other, and I got to go to slightly, is I don't have an excuse for the offensive line. Like, I don't have an excuse for that problem. Which I think we'll dig in a little deeper a little bit later on. That right there, the other stuff I can say with time, CJ will understand how to get the passing game together with all of these weapons, right? They were saying five-headed monster, but some of that is, where do I get the ball? Because I think many of you would agree, watching these games, CJ in the pocket looks different than CJ did last year. The ball was coming right out last year, no matter who it went to. So I could get to a point to say they will improve that, all of the minds, Slowick and all of them, at some point. Defensively, too. Like, at some point, three games in a row, I mean, in some form or fashion, the offensive line has just gotten their asses kicked. All three games in terms of pass protection, two of the three games in terms of run. And the only team that they didn't get dominated in terms of being able to run the football on has virtually been dominated by everybody else they played.
Yeah. Hello.
Except for the Bears, who just didn't try to run the ball for some reason against the Colts. So I think maybe slightly. I also think, Clint, the league is kind of, the AFC is kind of down, right? I didn't think that the Ravens would be 1-2. I didn't think that the Bengals would be 0-3. So maybe they are still in the same area we thought in the AFC because of what's happened around them. But I think a lot of it is time. That offensive line, I can't give that excuse to, though. That's my thing.
That's the scariest part of it all. I mean, the inability to generate a run game is a problem. You've added to it this year with the struggles in pass protection. Now, again, is that the O-line? Is that C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick trying to push the ball on the field instead of taking the underneath boring stuff? I don't know. But I know this. The one I would have lost a boatload of money if somebody had said, "Hey, three games into this thing, will you have seen what some believed had one of the top three most explosive lineups in football offensively? Would we have not seen an A game from them yet? Would we have not seen them get off all together yet?" I would have said, "We're gonna see it damn sure within the first 3 weeks.
We've seen things from Nico and Mixon."
But even Nico's not. Nico is. I mean, over half of his production has come in scramble drill.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, I'm not knocking Nico for it, but it's just that production is different than what we saw last year. The most impressive part of what C.J. Stroud did last year was that everything was in rhythm. Everything was in, was within the offense, majority of it. Very rarely was he having to run around like he did against Georgia in the college football playoffs and make plays and, you know, off schedule, off script, off platform. Now, he was good at that when he was asked to do it, but he just didn't have to do it as much. When they were humming, when they were one of the best offenses in football, it was so Brady-like. Balls out, balls on time, and we're gonna be very calculated when we do take our shots. We're gonna almost bait them down and then hit them over the top. What we're watching now, 3 weeks. I don't give a damn what the numbers say. 3 weeks, we haven't seen that. I know the completion percentage is still good. I know that if you look at it, I think he's 9 or 10 in yards at this point in time in the season. Okay, that's. When you look at the points, look at how many points they're scoring.
It's not just what we thought it would be.
It's just not. And if you watch the games, it's not the scary, explosive offense that we all expected. Has not been. Hopefully, like you said, get some time together, work this thing out. Maybe against a team like Jacksonville, you hit your stride and you really take off. But to date, 3 weeks into this thing, it has not been the explosive offense that we thought it was going to be.
Real quick, one more from the text line. Fixed Tunsil, problem solved, not rocket science. I think it's more than Tunsil.
To other people on that offense.
I mean, especially across the other offensive linemen, right? Like, it's...
And I'm not giving a Tunsil break. Tunsil, like, I'm pissed at him.
Tunsil needs to be fixed. They rushed for 38 yards last week. They wasn't all because the guy that was over Tunsil got in there. They struggled the week before running the football. Like that, and all the sacks, I guarantee you, aren't coming from Tunsil. Hell, we know it's not. We know
the tight ends
gave
fire.
Up a lot of them. So I understand the frustration with Tunsil, but it is more than that. All right, let's dive into a little bit deeper to what a point Clint made there is. All right, we got tricked week one. This inability to generate any kind of a run game is almost, I'd say, unacceptable, especially from what they dealt with last year and how they tried to fix that. That is something they definitely have to change. We'll continue that as we roll through live right here on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, remember, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, but let's jump right into it here. The Texans, we've seen this the last couple of weeks. They pulled the wool over our eyes after week one. They looked good. They looked like they were going to be dominant in the run game. And you thought, as you said, hell, this puts them in the range of a Super Bowl contender. Joe Mixon goes for 30 carries and 159 yards. Damian Pierce looked as good as he had in over a year. But that has not been the case against the Bears. They fought it and struggled. Now, Mixon did get injured midway through that, and they were without Damian Pierce. And then last week, they stunk it up. And Clint, yes, they were able to survive last year with multiple points of the season not having any semblance of a run game. But just like we saw in the playoffs against the Ravens, if they don't have that, Clint, especially when they play better defenses and better teams, that is going to be problematic in a major way. Hell, even from the standpoint of Clint, they could have used a longer drive in there a couple of times to maybe get their defense some rest when you know the Vikings had taken control. But that is a developing story, Clint, is this run game has gone back to where it was last year.
Yes, it has. And it's I think it's alarming, especially when you couple it with the fact they hadn't been able to protect very well either. But yeah, the you start the season, you go for over 200 yards as a team against the Indianapolis Colts. Now that we're looking at it 3 weeks into the season, the Indianapolis Colts are not the 32nd because the Dallas Cowboys hold that spot. They hold that crown. The worst run defense in football. But the Colts are about 6 yards, a little over 6 yards behind them. They are the 31st worst run defense in football, giving up 180 yards a game. And yeah, you had some success against that football team. They're not who we thought they were. I just told you who they actually are, and or at least who they are through three games. And that's just not the bar that I planned on, at least at this point. That's not the bar that I planned on gauging the Texans on a weekly basis. You look at some of the top defenses in this league and run defenses in this league. Minnesota Vikings, who you just played, they're the second best run defense in this league according to yards production, just yards against. They're the second best defense in this league, and they completely shut you out. The Bears are middle of the pack, completely shut you out. You had your leading rusher was Cam Akers both times, 31 yards, and another time it's 32 yards. So, they fooled us after week one. And if we're talking about a Super Bowl caliber team that's going to compete on that level week in, week out, and is going to be able to compete and navigate this first place schedule that they have this year, they're going to need to run the football. And they there's nothing that we've seen to this date that they have, that they're any better or any more confident in run offense than what they were a year ago.
Let me throw this out to you and the people, because I see some people agreeing with you. Is this simply to you, they don't have Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon makes a big, and I know Joe Mixon played some of that Bears game, but they didn't have Joe Mixon. And however you want to say it, since Bobby Slowick has been here, Devin Singletary had a couple of good games. The Cardinals game comes to mind that he played well against. The Bengals, who, God, their defense has been awful the last 2 years. That was ridiculous what we saw last night from them. But let me get back to it. The best that we've seen, the absolute best we've seen this run game, was when Joe Mixon was back there. Is this simply a case of, if they had Joe Mixon, this thing would look better? This thing would feel better, and we would feel differently about their inability to get a run game.
I think Joe Mixon would make you feel better from time to time, but I don't think Joe Mixon would make you feel better about the overall performance against the Vikings.
You
the
don't
Bears.
Think it would have changed? He no. would have changed the run game himself that much.
No, I don't believe. As I said before, the season last year, it would be better. Yes, would it be? Again, the bar that we're talking about gauging the Texans on week to week, the Super Bowl bar, the AFC Championship bar, would you feel any better about that? Absolutely not. I just don't think it's – I think it's an offensive line situation. It's an offensive line issue. And, boy, right now, if they can't get the edge and run the outside zone off of that toss, they just can't run the football. There is absolutely nothing – between the tackles that's happening for this football team. And if you look at the Indianapolis Colts team game, that's really where they did most of their damage, was on the outside zone. Whether they handed it or they tossed it, it was an outside zone concept. If they can't get the edge, and getting the edge really means your tackles have the ability to get the edge, your tight ends and your wide receivers have to be able to block really, really well, not in pass protection preferably, but on the edges in the run game. And we just hadn't been able to get that edge on two pretty good run defenses to date in terms of Minnesota and Chicago. So, yeah, I think this whole huddle, if we're being completely honest, like, I think the huddle in general loses some juice when you lose that. Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon.
Yeah, me too. So the run game definitely loses some juice, but I can't sit here and tell you that the reason this run offense is in the shape it's in right now is because Joe Mixon's bum ankle. This isn't a Damian Pierce, Cam Akers problem. This is an offensive line issue.
Since last year was Damian.
last year's
Damian. Was. Someone just texted in, I don't think Joe Mixon would have got 50 yards on Sunday in that.
I don't disagree. If you look at the small sample size that we had against Chicago before he went down, I don't know that he had 50 yards in that game.
Yeah, because it was like the cutback was in that first game. He was cut back on the Colts, but as we said, hell, he didn't really have to. They were.
They could have done whatever they wanted to. Anybody in a Texans uniform that played the running back position was gonna get theirs on against the Colts.
But the Bears, and the Vikings, those cutback lanes were shut down because Cam Akers does it too.
Yep.
Those cutback lanes. We're completely shut down. All right, coming up, let's look at the man, CJ Stroud. And I think Clint has a really good thought here, because we may be entering the most that he's actually ever seen when you talk about expectations and what's happening. Adversity. We'll discuss that about C.J. Stroud coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
16, you can get involved in the show. What'd I do?
It was off.
Oh, was it off? My fault. Man, my bad. I'm sorry. I apologize. Anyway, 713-572-4610. You can jump in with us. Text line, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in as well on that. Clint, you've been talking about this. You brought this up yesterday a little bit. And I know this has been in your mind a little bit. This is some of the first sense of adversity we've been able to see that not just the Texans have had to deal with, but more specifically C.J. Stroud and how he's going to handle it. Because maybe at some point, I don't think a lot, but maybe at some point, some people are looking at him a little differently than just like, you know, God mode, as I've said about C.J. Stroud at times.
Yeah, look, I mean, here's the deal. I'm just a big believer in adversity exposes a man's true character. You find out a lot about a man in times of adversity. And look, they're 2-1. We're talking sports adversity here. It's not life or death by any means.
Want to make sure that.
But at the end of the day, the thing here is, and what's different this year is the expectations are totally different. I keep talking about the standard, the bar, the that we gauge the Texans on. Here locally, I'll be honest with you, I think it's even higher on a national level. I expect these guys to be able to compete with Super Bowl caliber teams. If we're going to have the conversation, we're going to put them in that conversation. They need to be able to compete with those teams, not get the doors blown off of them by the Vikings, right? That's my personal belief. I think the thought around the league nationally is, hell yeah, the Texans ought to not only compete, but they ought to win some of those. The expectations are for C.J. Stroud, for somehow, and I've been warning people now, but the expectation is for C.J. Stroud to go out there and just like, in his sleep, put up another year like he did last year. It's extremely difficult to do what he did last year. And so the difference between last year, I know they started off 0-2 last year, I get it. They're 2-1 now, it's not that big of a deal. But the difference between the two is this year, you're expected to win a bunch of ball games, 11-12 ball games. You're expected to be one of the best AFC teams in the AFC across the board, week in, week out. And so the expectations are different this year than last year. Nobody expected anything out of the Texans. When they started out 0-2, nobody cared. This year, losses are going to be magnified and just simply mean more. And so I am interested, Ron, to see C.J. Stroud had a hell of a season. They went to the playoffs. He went and picked up an award in Vegas at the NFL Awards, the Rookie of the Year. He's carried himself a little bit differently since arriving on the NFL scene.
God bless, brother.
Yes, sir. Understandably so, he has done that. Justifiably so, he has done that. But it is interesting to me. First week, it was more run game. It wasn't a CJ-centric game. Week two against the Bears, major struggle. Couldn't run it, couldn't throw it. Couldn't protect. The little incident after the game, I think, got some national attention. A good chunk of it negative about C.J. Stroud giving Caleb Williams some kind of pep talk after the game. I think there was more negative around that than positive. As I said, the offense isn't as explosive as everybody expected it to be. And then this week, all of a sudden, you throw two picks. Another week, the offense isn't explosive. You put up 7 points. Sam Darnold, of all people, goes out 4 touchdowns. And
people are saying things I've never heard said about C.J. Stroud. He looked lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard that.
So it's just, it's going to be interesting. And, I mean, I don't think, like, the Laremy Tunsil thing has to weigh. Yes, D'Amico Ryans has got to deal with and address that thing. But it's got to weigh on the mind of C.J. Stroud, who's leading this show, who's running this whole offense. It's ultimately going to be up to him as well to address it in some degree if it goes any further. So it is just very interesting. It's going to be very interesting to watch C.J. Stroud navigate this little bit of sports adversity, just a little different vibe around him and the team as they try to right the ship. It's going to be must watch.
Yeah, I don't know about you. My confidence level in him being able to handle that is pretty strong. Like, I just judged off, you know, what we've seen from C.J. Stroud, what he has shown. I think all of that stuff leading up into the draft, everything he dealt with, there was adversity he dealt with there. I feel pretty good that C.J. will handle adversity pretty well, just based off the evidence we've seen him with. Obviously, his upbringing, his situation with his father, like we said, all of the silliness that happened with him being drafted and how he stayed even keeled during that. And then some of the adversity, the more football adversity that came with it. But what I think does separate this is, Clint, there is expectation now with him, which to me can kind of change maybe how a person views it. When people are talking about not only this is a Super Bowl type team, but you're a top three quarterback is what some people are expecting. That you don't know how people could react to things not going the way they want to. So I think it is a new deal he's dealing with, especially when you add on the expectations and what so many people expect.
Well, and look,
because he's competitive as hell.
It's absolutely. It's C.J. Stroud's job, not quite as much as D'Amico, but damn near. It's C.J. Stroud's job to make sure that this team doesn't backslide. And like we said, you played really close games against two football teams that right now are not very good football teams, and then you got beat up pretty handily by a team that's nobody had on the radar as being a contender, but they're damn sure trending in that direction. So, you know, what do you do? How do you change the course? How do you get, like CJ was talking about, how do you get back to doing what you were doing last year, and how do you right the ship? Look, nobody's going to be more responsible for that than C.J. Stroud. And in doing so, again, you're going to have to get something figured out with Laremy Tunsil. And you're going to have to get something
figured out.
Yes, I mean, it's going to lean on C.J. Ultimately, C.J., the one that is going to be hammered for not winning, hammered for not the offense not being as explosive, hammered for not matching the stats that he put up last year. The one that's going to be hammered is CJ. And guess what? If you keep going from 3rd and 4 to 3rd and 9 to 3rd and 14 to 3rd and 19, you keep you know, taking away 3rd and 10 conversions that you make and because of illegal formations or false starts. I mean, so yeah, he's the one that's got to right the ship. He's the one that's got to get those guys in line. He's the one that's got to get the offense turned. He's the one that when you look at this offense, I don't know exactly what it is. I'm not privy to the information. I'm not in the locker room over there. But the ball's not getting out as cleanly and as crisply and as quickly as it did last year. And I don't know if that is what defenses are doing, because if you hear Bobby Slowick talk about we're seeing a lot of two-shell, that tells me the ball should come out early. That tells me you should be able to run the football.
I just answered this one also, but...
I know, Bobby, but what you're saying is kind of contradicting yourself. See, if there's two safeties on the shelf and you're constantly seeing two-shell safeties, a good football team should be able to run the football. A quarterback and a play caller that did what y'all did last year should be able to get the ball out quick right now, get it out over the middle right now quick like he did a lot of the time last year. Those things aren't happening. It's going to be first and foremost. It's a collective group, no doubt about it. Nobody can do it alone, but it's all going to be laid at the feet of C.J. Stroud. It's all going to be on C.J. Stroud if it doesn't happen. He's going to be the first name mentioned. He's going to be the first one that's going to have to speak about it on press conferences and to the media, and it's just going to be – it's a different animal than I think what he's experienced in the NFL.
Speaking of a different animal, you and Sean always do a great job on the post game show. Make sure you're listening right after the game. You can hear it.
Did you just call me an animal?
Did I? I don't think I did. What time do they play sets Sunday? 12?
Noon.
That's a noon kickoff. Oh, so you
old nooner.
So you you'll
who's
be there.
Who's not a fan of a nooner?
Yeah, you'd be catching up about 3:30, 4 o'clock. You can catch Sean and Clint, who do a hell of a job every single. I was driving HEB on Sunday listening to the post game show, and you all do a hell of a job on it. And you always are get to sit down with one of the players, and you sit down with old Cam Akers, who got him a touchdown. If those of you replaced him in fantasy, you probably had a nice little number from him. But I know he said something that caught your ear. And something we talked about on this show before. Here's Cam Akers in the postgame with Clint Sean.
Very aware of it as a team, you know what I mean? I don't think it's a problem. I just think we're too comfortable as a team sometimes, and knowing how good we are, knowing how much talent we have, knowing how the coaches, how they dial things up, I think we get too comfortable sometimes. And I don't think we're the team that people want to beat, you know, so being comfortable, that's not acceptable. You know what I mean? We have to come out every week, every game, and with the same mindset and same attitude, regardless of who we're playing, regardless of, you know, what the situation is. Being comfortable, that's not acceptable.
Mm, being comfortable. He said it multiple times.
Absolutely. Comfortable, complacent, feeling yourself, you know, however you want to couch it. You know, that, Ron, is one thing that we were, you know, leery of in the offseason was how different things are around this team. How the guys respond is going to be a big part of whether they can win on a first place schedule. And here we are, week three, you know, a rough game, and all of a sudden, you know, you got guys, which I think very. Like, I ain't mad. I think Cam Akers said hit the nail on the head. Like,
because he's probably been feeling it. Cam Akers is one of the few
people. He's won a Super Bowl.
Thank you. He's one of the few people who's done it. He could probably feel it.
Yeah. And at the very least, Ron, you know he ain't blowing smoke. I mean, at the very least, it's what he's feeling now. And so, yeah, man, that was a concern coming into the season. C.J. Stroud then went on with his time with the media. He actually mentioned not playing hard, need to play harder, need to this or that. And so, yeah, maybe this team just needs a little maybe they needed that 34-7? That 34-7 check that they got last week or Sunday.
Something we looked at, something we wondered, because they just never had to deal with being the hunted and being the team, as Cam said, that teams want to beat. All right, coming up. The Astros had a chance to clinch a playoff spot and clinch, I think for the fifth straight year, an AL West championship. They were unable to do so last night. We'll get you caught up on that. And also, the latest update from Joe Espada on Yordan Alvarez and that knee. We'll discuss all of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.